Indeed.com.
Good morning, everyone. Hey, I am doing my best to try and keep summer here, right? So still going shorts. I think it's not really summer, but maybe we can hang on to mildly warm weather. We'll see. So thanks for all being here this morning, braving the fall weather. Last week, we looked at what John had to say in the middle part of chapter 2. We're going to be focusing on the end part of chapter 2 today, if you want to turn there in your Bibles or your Bible apps, 1 John chapter 2. The theme was real victory. And one of the key ideas was that when it comes to battling the world or the devil or the flesh, the Bible calls those things being a battle for us and uses them sometimes kind of interchangeably. When it comes to our desires and our pride, in other words, what the Bible calls sin, right? Victory is found only in Christ and only by faith, right? Victory is found only in Christ and only by faith. That was the focus of last week. If you missed it, I encourage you to go back and listen to that. But this week kind of builds on that. The fact is that we're powerless in our own strength against those things, the world, the devil, the flesh, pride, desire, sin. But Jesus, as we're going to see today, came to destroy the works of the devil. And, of course, with God, all things are possible, right? Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. But with God, all things are possible. So that was the key idea last week. Now, it's one thing to be victorious, like in a moment, right? For a moment, one time. It's another thing to be victorious over the long haul. Now, I want you, if you could, to try to picture an earthly battle where maybe you are a warrior. As hard as that might be to imagine for me, maybe it's easier for you to imagine, but imagine yourself as a warrior, but not in modern-day warfare where it's like missiles and bombs and guns and grenades and, you know, drones and stuff like that, right? But more of an ancient battle where most of the combat was close proximity and kind of hand-to-hand combat. So the battle would start for you when you would come into contact with your first opponent, right? It was a battle to the death, or at least to the point where that enemy was incapacitated and could no longer fight back. And maybe that victory came fast. Oftentimes, it could be this knockdown, drag-out thing that you would go through. But either way, if you come out on top in that battle, if you emerge victorious in that one battle, there was no time for celebrating because you would have to face the next person coming at you, right? And when you were victorious again, you would move to the next opponent and to the next opponent and the next one and the next one, and it would just keep on coming. In hand-to-hand combat, your strength would be sapped, right? You'd be exhausted, but you couldn't quit because to stop fighting would probably lead to your demise, right? You had no other option but to keep fighting on and on and on. And I was thinking about that because our battle against sin, we want victory, right? But the goal is not just to win once. It's to be victorious through the whole battle, right? Even though victory can only come through Jesus by faith, it's going to require this endurance on our part. And that's the theme for today, real endurance, real endurance. So we're looking at 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 through 28. And John writes this, "Children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they are all not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has made to us, eternal life. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you, but the anointing that you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. All right, let's pray as we dive into this scripture passage today. Father God, we pray today that your word would speak to us. Regardless of where we're at in the battle, we do want victory in our life. We want victory in the sense of this battle against sin and the flesh and the devil and the world that we've talked about, the pride in us, the desire in us. We want to see victory in that, and not just in the one time, but for the long haul. So we pray that what we discover today may help us in that battle, that your word would teach us and instruct us, and that you would speak to us with where we're at, with whatever it is that we struggle or battle with today. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right, so there's a key word that we're going to hear in this passage, and I got to kind of get this part out of the way as we jump in. Multiple times in this passage, there's the word abide. Now, the theme is real endurance, and you don't hear the word endurance in this passage. The Greek word there for abide is meno. It means to abide or stay or to remain in place, right? The emphasis generally is on a stable, relational, ongoing connection to Christ. But it's sometimes translated endure, right? Now, if you think about the word endure, the biblical word for that is a little different, but it is to abide. It means partly to abide, but to do so facing hardship and opposition. And I think the passage that we read about today talks about abiding, but in the context of there's some difficulty going on around them, right? Now, I recently had an experience that kind of illustrates both abiding and enduring. So when I was working on the message, not this week, but last week, I was in Appleton. I had some meetings in Appleton, getting together with some people there. And I decided not to come back to Oshkosh because I had a soccer game in, like, the Kimberley area later on that day. So I had a couple of hours. It didn't make sense to drive back. It made sense for me to stay in Kaukauna. I needed to eat lunch anyway, so I went to Arby's. Now, that's not the abiding part or the enduring. But what happens is I sit down at the place. It's pretty empty because it's after lunch hour. So I'm like, all right, this will work. I'll sit down, get my food, use the time to work on the message. I planned to stay or remain or abide in Appleton at Arby's for a while. However, this proved much easier said than done. Because as I was sitting and working, a couple of tables filled up, the one in front of me and the one behind. All the others were wide open, right? Now, in front of me was this older couple. The wife was very boisterous. She was just one of those people who talked loudly and with very exaggerated expressions, right? She's sitting like 6 feet away, facing me. Behind me sat a pair of, I think they were sisters, might have just been friends, it was difficult to tell. And they too were older, and they were pretty quiet, at least at first. Well, the couple in front of me, their cell phone goes off. And which is impressive because they're much older, but they're dealing with cell phones and ringtones, right? But the ringtone was this old country song. And so she turned it off, and one of the sisters from behind me, not realizing, I don't think, that it was a ringtone, called across the tables, like, oh, let it play. Play the song. And it, like, that initiated this very loud conversation about the music of country legend Conway Twitty. Okay? So, now, that was the good old days of music. Oh, when Conway and Loretta sang together, it was amazing. I just loved it. And you know Loretta's sister, Crystal Gayle? Have you seen her hair? No, I haven't. Oh, it's so long. I don't know what she does when she has to go to the bathroom. I tried hard not to laugh out loud at the ridiculousness of this whole thing, but I was also kind of annoyed in the middle of it, right? Like caught in the middle. Well, you know Conway, like apparently they're on first name basis with these country singers. You know Conway, he died of a stomach aneurysm. Really? I didn't know that. Yep, it's too bad. All the good singers are dead. Like they're all in heaven now, right? And I'm like, again, kind of laughing, but kind of annoyed. And I'm like, do I stick my headphones in and try and drown this out or not? Well, the couple had to leave, and I'm thinking, all right, well, this is kind of over. The conversation stopped, but the sisters were still there. So one of them decided it would be a really good idea to start playing Conway Twitty songs on full volume from their phone in the booth behind me, right? While there's already music going on in the whole restaurant. So it was like, man, what a nightmare. Now, I stayed there. I remained in place. I was abiding. But in order to do that, I also had to make it through this whole ordeal, right? I had to do it in my heart without sinning. So I abided, but I also had to endure. I had to endure. And it was challenging, but I just kept reminding myself, like, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, right? Now, the point is, a little bit of a weird story, but it kind of illustrates that abiding and enduring, they often go hand in hand, right? They often go hand in hand because there will always be challenges to our faith. And that's one of the starting points for our thoughts today is abiding and enduring go hand in hand because there will always be challenges to our faith. Now, even though John uses the word abide here, again, the theme for today is about endurance. And abiding in Christ is a big part of enduring. The specific threat that John brings up in this passage were those who called themselves Christians who were spreading a false gospel, right? And he calls them antichrists. Now, if you spend any time, any amount of time, really, looking at what the Bible says about end times and the end of the world, that sort of stuff, you know there's a key figure that people focus on called the antichrist. Right? In Daniel and Revelation, it talks about this world leader who is going to rise to power, who's going to lead people astray, who's going to go to war against God's people, and ultimately to be defeated by Jesus himself when Jesus returns to rule and reign. Right? That's normally who we think of when we hear that word or that phrase, the Antichrist. But John says in verse 18, children, it's the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many antichrists have come. Therefore, we know it is the last hour. It's like he's saying, yeah, you already know about that guy. But right now, there are many antichrists out there. It's not just the one big one that we need to worry about. There are others. And this lines up with what Jesus taught John and the disciples. Right, when they asked about things that were to come, in Matthew 24, we talked about this in our Always Be Ready series, in Matthew 24, it says, and Jesus answered them, see that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray. Like Jesus said it would happen, and John's going, look, it's happening. Right, it's already happening. Now, these false teachers, they were convoluting the true gospel message. And they were mixing it with things that were wrong and false. It's kind of how they operated. They claimed that they would claim things like, oh, you get saved by your good deeds, not by your faith. They might claim, oh, you need to believe in Jesus and do some special work or special thing to be saved. They would claim to have special insight or revelation beyond what Jesus was teaching. They would claim that Jesus was this good teacher and a moral man, and his teachings are really helpful, but he's not really the Son of God. Or, yeah, there's Jesus, but he was just a spirit. He wasn't really a man. Like, there are all kinds of ideas and thoughts that they would bring in, and these false teachers were tougher sometimes to discern because there were lies that were mixed in with a whole bunch of truth. But make no mistake about it, John's like, look, they're anti-Christ. They are against Christ, and they're leading people astray. Now, who were these people? Where'd they come from? John says, they went out from us. Like, dun, 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 right? They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. Right? Like, they were once one of us. Or at least, we thought they were. And that's a tale as old as time, isn't it? Right? Like, the bad guy used to be a good guy, but went astray, or used to be in line with the good guy and went astray. Like Hollywood, they got this formula down, don't they? Like movies and stories and books and whatever, comics, all that sort of thing. They know this works really well. The best villains, or the worst villains, I should say, in that sense, used to be really tight with the good guys at one time. You know, like who was the enemy of Lion King's Mufasa? Scar. Right, his younger brother. Who was one of the main enemies of Thor? Loki, his adopted brother. Prince Hans, right? Seemed all good, but turned out to be the villain in Frozen. Or you have Harvey Dent, a.k.a. Two-Face, in Batman. Like, he used to fight crime. He was really committed to fighting crime, but when tragedy hit him, the Joker manipulates him to take revenge on the good guys. Or probably the most heartbreaking of all is this cute little kid named Anakin Skywalker, right? Who turns out to be Darth Vader, right? Like they all were once on the good side, but turned. They went the way of evil. And that was the deal with these false teachers. Right? They used to believe. They used to follow the true gospel, but they went out from us, John says. One of the things about the good guys gone bad is that it's a really sad state when that happens. It's a tough pill to swallow, right? You can think about this. What hurts worse for you when some stranger does something to cause you harm, or when it comes from a family member or a close friend? Right? The second, right? Like David wrote about this in Scripture. He said in Psalm 55, my heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror overwhelms me. For it is not an enemy who taunts me. Then I could bear it. It is not an adversary who deals insolently with me. Then I could hide from him. But it is you, a man, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend. We used to take sweet counsel together within God's house. We walked in the throng. Right? Like nothing hurts quite so much as when a trusted loved one turns against you. Or in this case, when someone who you shared fellowship with, who was a follower of Christ, abandons the true faith and starts spreading a gospel or a message or a belief that is false. It seemed like their faith was genuine. It seemed like it was real. But as it turns out, that was not the case. If they really were one of us, John says, they would never have walked away from the true faith and turned to the dark side. Now, I know this brings up a pretty big issue that many people debate in Christian circles, right? When it comes to salvation, once someone comes to faith in Jesus, is it once saved, always saved? Doesn't matter what they do after that point. Like they're good? Or can you lose your salvation if you walk away from God? There's a lot of debate about that. And I believe here, Scripture is affirming that look, no one loses their salvation, but if they walk away, it's an indication it was never really genuine to begin with. Right? That's kind of what John says. They went out from us. They were not of us. This is verse 19. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not us, are not of us. Right? It's saying, look, if someone once claimed to be a Christ follower yet walks away from him, it shows their faith ultimately was never really genuine to begin with, because faith has to endure. Now, that doesn't mean they can never turn back. Doesn't mean it's hopeless. They may one day return to him, just like Jesus told the story of the prodigal son. And God is always willing to embrace someone when they come back to him. Right? But if they don't, then based on what John's writing here, they never really had that salvation, that true belief, true faith to begin with. And that was the case with these antichrists. Right? They used to walk with Jesus, but they left the faith. They did not endure, which means they never really had this true faith to begin with. Okay, so now John saw this too, by the way, firsthand in Jesus, right, in his own circle of friends. Judas was one who betrayed Jesus. He was with him the whole time, but apparently he never really got it. He was with them, but he was never really one of them. He was just like these antichrists that John describes, right? So he speaks from experience here, okay? Now, that's pretty heavy. Switches gears a little bit in verse 20. John writes, but you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, because no lie is of the truth. Right? He says, you know Christ for real. You have a real knowledge. You have real truth. You have the Holy Spirit of God in you, the anointing. Your faith is not counterfeit and it's not fake. And then verse 22, he says, who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Like, we have to acknowledge that the foundational truth of the gospel requires us to believe in God the Father and that Jesus, his Son, is the promised Savior. Right? You have to believe in the Father and the Son. You can't deny either one. You can't possibly be called a Christian without believing both are true. Those who do not believe this truth, John says, they teach anything other than this, are liars and frauds. Right? It makes them antichrists. But as for those who truly believe, John says this, verse 24, let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. Right? Again, both true. And this is the promise that he has made to us, eternal life. Right? That truth has to abide in you, stay in you, remain in you. You have to endure. But if it does, you have the promise of eternal life. Now again, John used the word abide here, and we talked about that meaning, right, to stay or to remain, and includes the idea of enduring. We talked about that. He's mentioned it numerous times. In this passage, this is going to get maybe a little nerdy, but when he uses that verb, it's in the present imperative active form. You're all like, oh, okay, yeah. Now I got to look that up too, right? What's the significance of that? Well, first, it's an imperative, meaning it's a command. It's a command, right? It's not a suggestion or a hope or just a statement. It's a command. Abiding in him is a command. Second, because it's active, it means it's for us to do. Right, there are some things that God does for us. This is not one of them. Abiding is something we are supposed to do for ourselves. I find that interesting because a lot of times we talk about, like, well, we have to abide. We have to just be. Well, no. don't do, just be. That's abiding. Actually, it's not, because abiding is a command to us, right? We have to do the work of abiding in him. We have to stay, remain with Jesus. It takes effort on our part. But then third, it's also something we should be doing in this present moment, but at every moment to come, right? It's the active aspect of it. We need to continue to abide in Christ and be willing to endure whatever opposition we may face. So John commands us to abide in the truth of the gospel, in God the Father, in Jesus the Son, Jesus Christ. And when we do this, abide, stay, or remain in him, we know we will have or receive the promise he's given us, which is eternal life. Life forever with God in heaven. Right? That's the promise we've been given if we endure. Okay? Last few verses, verse 26. He says, I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you, but the anointing that you received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. Like, look, you've been given the Holy Spirit. You know the truth. He is the truth. And he will give you the power to remain strong in him. So continue to stay. Continue to remain. Continue to abide in him. In other words, endure. Endure. Now, I was thinking about this idea of endurance and the word abide. And I thought, what would be some practical aspects of this for us, right? Like, if we're supposed to abide, in what ways are we supposed to abide? If it's a command to us and it's something we're supposed to do and it's something we're supposed to do in an ongoing way, how do we do that? Or in what areas of our life are we supposed to do that? So came up with a little acronym. I think that's the right word there, for abide. And it is this. It has to do with our actions, our beliefs, our intimacy, our decisions, and our endurance, right? If you have the note sheet in the back, these are listed on there, but you can jot those down if you want. Actions, beliefs, intimacy, decisions, and endurance. Now, I'm going to go through them, but not in that order, because I think there is a progression here that these things happen in our lives. So the first thing, the first area that we, and these are just going to be real brief, but the first area that we have to, that requires us to abide is in our intimacy, right? Abiding starts with a real knowledge of Jesus, like personally. We begin a fellowship with him, a connection with him. And we can't abide in him if we aren't keeping connected to Jesus, right? If we aren't spending significant time in prayer, in scripture, in worship, and so on, right? So the first aspect is it starts with intimacy, our connection, our relationship with him. The second is beliefs. Like, we have to keep clinging to the truth. Like, our beliefs need to be informed by his truth. His word, the scripture, is truth. We have to abide in his truth. In other words, we have to make sure we have right thinking and correct beliefs so we can stay on the right path. So we have intimacy in our beliefs. Then our decisions. Right? Decisions. Like, we have to keep making godly choices. If we believe this to be true, then we should, that's what should follow, is us making decisions or choices that reflect God's heart. When we know the truth, who he is, what he wants us to do, we decide to make those right choices. We have to abide or stay or remain determined that we will do the right thing in his eyes. Which leads to actions, right? The A, actions, that we'll keep walking in the light. We'll keep walking in the light. Like, we actually need to do the right thing. We have to move beyond just good intentions to acting right. Like, our decisions need to translate into actions. So that's the A. And the last one is endure, or endurance. that it's something that we need to keep doing. We need to keep following him. We have to abide in him, again, as this whole message is about, over the long haul. Obstacles, challenges, they're going to come our way. They'll make us feel like quitting. We need to keep at it, right? Don't quit. Don't fall away. Don't turn away. Don't give up. We need to endure. So abide. Our actions, beliefs, intimacy, decisions, and endurance. Those are areas in which we should abide in him. It's what we need to do to endure. Right? And then the last verse tells us one of the reasons we should do it. He already talked about how we endure and we have, in our faith, we have this promise of eternal life. But here's another. Verse 28, and now, little children, abide in him so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. Right? So that we have confidence. Two reasons. First reason we stay or abide in him is so that when he appears, we have confidence before him. We can face Jesus with boldness and assurance in his presence. And not in the opposite way, which he says we abide or stay or remain in him so that when he appears, we may not shrink in shame. In other words, be dishonored or be put to shame. Because if we abide in him, we won't be ashamed of our actions. So we can approach him with confidence. Why? Because in everything we were seeking to serve and honor Jesus. He will not say to us, oh, depart from me, I never knew you. He does know us. And we know him because we were abiding in him all along and we endured to the end. I want to just close with verse 24 and 25 once again. If the worship team wants to come back up, you can do that now. But it says this, it said this in verse 24 and 25, let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and the Father. And this is the promise he has made to us, eternal life. Eternal life. Look, if there's ever an instance where we feel like giving up or quitting or not enduring, not sticking to our faith, not walking in the opposite direction of what Jesus wants for us, there's some really great motivation. As we endure, we have this assurance, this confidence in the promise he's made to us, which is eternal life, life forever with God. All right, let's pray and we'll close our time in worship. Lord God, we're grateful that victory comes in you and through you. That in Christ we know we can have victory over sin and over the world, the devil, the flesh, our pride, our desires, things that you call sin. We thank you that we can have victory, but we don't want to just win in a moment. We want to be able to be in this battle for the long haul, to follow after you, to chase after you, to keep pursuing you, to endure in abiding in you. Lord, as we do that, we pray that there would be an intimacy with you, that we keep connected in relationship with you because you long for that from us. And that our beliefs, we would have our minds and our hearts surrendered to your truth. That would lead to us making decisions that honor you. Choices that honor you in our life. And that it wouldn't just be good intentions, but that those choices, those decisions would lead to action. It would lead to a place where our life reflects exactly what you want it to be. And again, we pray that it wouldn't just be for a moment, that it wouldn't just be an occasional thing that we're abiding in you in these areas, but that it would be for the long haul, that we would be able to endure, that we would keep following you, regardless of the circumstances that come our way, regardless of the battles that we have to face, regardless of the fact that we might get through one moment and there's another moment right on its heels and another moment beyond that and another moment beyond that, and we're tired and we're weary and we're weak and we want to give up sometimes, but you call us to continue to abide in you, to trust in you, to rely upon your power and your strength. And as we do that in each moment, would it just, God, would you just allow that to lead to a long haul? As we stick through you, would you just provide what we need through your Spirit, through your word, through your people, to continue to remain in you, to endure whatever comes our way. And if anyone's just feeling that struggle right now, Lord, we just want to lift them before you. If they're feeling like maybe just things are too hard and they want to walk away, they want to quit, we lift them before you. We pray right now that you would just give them what they need. The support of this community. Just a sense of your presence and the power of your Spirit working in them to remain true, to endure, to continue to abide. And Lord, for those of us, maybe sometimes we're in that place where we're actually kind of taking it for granted. Yeah, we're doing fine. And yet, maybe in your eyes, we're really not. But you long for us to just to abide in you, to seek after you, to pursue you. Meet us in that place. Draw us to yourself. And let us not fade into the sunset. Let us not fade away in our faith, but allow us to endure and relight the fire that we once had. If that is fading, we pray you just fan the flames in our life. Lord, you know our hearts. We lay them before you. We trust for you to do the work you need to do as we continue to abide and to remain and to stay and to endure in following you with the hope that is more than a hope. It's a promise that we know is sure that one day we'll be with you forever. We're thankful for that, and we pray you just continue to give us what we need to honor you. In the name of Christ we pray.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.